Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are talking about Season 4, Episode 11, Wake Up. It's time to wake up, agents. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
How can we be sure that any of this is real, guys? Or are we just in a simulation, man?
I'll pinch Jesse.
That felt pretty real, man.
That feels real?
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Perception is everything. Hello, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans. Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Show on AfterBuzz TV. Today we are talking about the episode Wake Up. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Jesse Klein.
Hey, everyone. I am excited to be back.
Yay!
It's been so long. I assure you, I am not an LMD.
I was about to say, I have trust issues now whenever somebody goes away for an extended period of time.
I promise you, I am not an LMD. If I am, whoever
it's
made me...
what an LMD would say.
Real boring job.
Of all the people you could have made an LMD of,
yeah,
like...
real boring job. Yeah, I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to talk about the show. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Zach Wilson!
I am Zach Wilson, also known as That Zach Wilson on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s back! Well, I want to get into this episode. I have some things to say.
Me too.
But before we do, Teron sadly can't join us, but be sure to follow him on Twitter as well. I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. We are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVMarvel, as well as keeping an eye on the live chat for as long as the computer stays alive. And because it will probably die soon, we will go ahead... really quickly, we want to talk to you about iTunes.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Teron, it was a perfect... because we have one review this week that I just want to shout out. And you guys can always get a shout out giving us a review on iTunes, because it helps keep the lights on here.
It is the best way to let our producers know you like the show we're putting on.
This is Keep Up the Puns!
Why?
It says, Joy You Cute Cuisine. You guys are doing a great job with this after show. I sincerely enjoy each episode you put out, and you all have such great reactions and theories. Teron is a great addition to this show.
I agree.
He brings a different point of view to the show, which is always great to hear. All in all, you guys rock.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Teron will never hear that review.
He won't.
Well, we love hearing from you guys, and we love that we have an international audience. It blows our mind every single time to find out that we have fans all around the world. We love talking to you guys about this show.
We do.
Let's get down to it, guys. This one, we seem to have different feelings on it. I thought this episode was kind of predictable in terms of the preview that we got last week in terms of that stuff.
Yeah.
But there were aspects of this episode that I really liked in terms of like the political side of things. I wanted to know, what do you guys feel about this episode?
I don't know. Like, look. S.H.I.E.L.D. is such a fantastic show that there have been very few episodes throughout its run, especially, as we always say, since that Season 1, Episode 16 barrier.
Yeah.
There's been almost no episodes that have been a down moment.
That have been straight-up bad episodes.
I would say that there hasn't been a bad episode, but there have been episodes that were less than stellar. For me, this one fell into that category.
Yeah, this felt... I think I'm more on Zach's side than I am on yours, which is convenient because we're on opposite sides of the table. thank you.
AfterBuzz Civil War.
Thank you, in-house band.
Be here all week.
To me, this felt like a filler episode. I think a lot of the story... for the most part, ended it in the same place that we began in. We got some information, you know, there's some stuff. But for the most part, all of the arcs seem very self-contained. And none of the reveals were that surprising.
Were that shocking.
Yeah.
I think we ended the last podcast with, I think I said, oh, it's going to be a program in May's head. I really hope it's not that, because I just said it, and it was that.
Well,
it was pretty much exactly what we thought.
It was very clear from the last episode that that's what it was going to be, that all of her escape attempts were going to be simulations. That wasn't difficult to predict. Like, I mean...
But it wasn't that we thought it was hard to predict, but they played it.
We should have been shocked.
And
to spend so much time on, like, those fights, which normally I'd be like, awesome, Maze fighting an android, I want to see that. When you know that it's not real and there are no stakes, then it feels not as important and not as interesting.
Like, do you guys feel like that, like, we would have been given more we would have had more investment in this fight if we hadn't had that conversation between Radcliffe and Ada of she needs an adversary?
I think if they just hadn't, like, spaced it out throughout, like, the first, like, 40 minutes of the episode, because they would show that and then go to the other storylines and then go back to that and then back to the other storylines. If they had just done that right, like, nonstop from the top, I think it would have played a lot cleaner, because then you would have had that reveal within the first 15 minutes.
The three cut-tos of May running upstairs and opening doors. Like, that wasn't needed for us to get that story across.
Fair enough. That being said, I did like the fight scenes. I thought, yeah, we knew exactly what the context was, but I thought the fight scenes were pretty darn good.
I didn't care about them.
But he's right. Like, the stakes. The fight coordination was just as good as it always is, which is spectacular. But it, without any stakes, it just, I couldn't get invested in it. And the twist at the end, with it, like, the way that they were finally able to contain her was using Bahrain.
That was such awesome!
That's such a more interesting story.
That, and I think that's why they dragged out that particular, you know, in terms of cutting back to it every so often. But yeah, they could have had that entirely in the first 15 minutes and saved the Bahrain reveal for the very end like they did, because I actually do feel like that was the perfect note to end on.
Or, like, go through, if they really wanted to fake us out more, like, go through that first run-through faster, and maybe they change up how it starts every time, so that we're not sure each time if this is, like, her fighting finally through the program.
I would have liked to have seen, like, a Groundhog's Day May. Where we see her waking up and, like, doing it. And, like, you know, it was a lot of tell, not show. Where, like, Ada tells her, like, this is the
You
X
would have liked to see
time.
Her figure it out on her own.
I would have liked to have seen her, like, you know, if the first time she gets cuts loose and, like, Ada throws something at her and she gets impaled. The second time she catches it because she remembers it, and, like, seeing her learn her way through it is more interesting, because then the stakes are, oh, will May beat this system this time?
It's a virtual run, Lola, run, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
That would have been cool, because that would have been something, like, if you know the audience is... This is what I've said to people, like, talking about, like, how you structure a sci-fi show when you have a mystery. It's like, if you think the audience is going to figure it out at some point, like, you're dropping hints, you got to give it to them right away. Because if you think that modern day TV viewers are going to take a long time to figure out what you're doing, you're wrong.
Yeah.
So just use that. People are savvy. Lean into it. Like, if you know that people are going to pick up on it right away, just give it to them right away and use the fact that they know to create a bigger, crazier storyline.
Yeah, don't waste any time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I will say, I do like this episode for one reason, and it's because it gave us steaming pile of fart pellets. And for that, I will always love this episode. They're like, oh, it's the 10 o'clock. It's the 10 o'clock time. Steaming pile of fart pellets. And then at one point, Coulson says, like, they're busting our balls.
Yeah, the steaming pile of fart pellets. I stopped and I was like, wait, are we watching, like, this airplane version of, like, the R-rated show?
Surely you can't be serious.
I was like, what is going on? And, like, Coulson's like, they're busting our balls all over the place. Which isn't, like, super R-rated, but just kind of weird.
You're breaking my balls here, Tabitha. You're breaking my balls. No, I will say that, kind of talking about the May side of things, I wanted to get your guys' opinion on how you thought about Robo May kind of coming to terms with what she actually is. I feel like there, like, because she immediately went to Radcliffe and knew, she's like, how much of me is me? Like, she knew right away that, like, she's like, well, I'm probably a robot. Well, shoot.
Yeah, I mean, I think that tracks as far as last week we had Ada come in and, like, you know, there's a lot LMDs on the brain. So I think it tracks that she would be like, oh, I must also be a robot. And,
shoot.
I think that tracks. It was an interesting conversation between her and Radcliffe about that he didn't program her to not say who she is to Coulson, but programmed her to not want to, which to me feels like a convenient loophole for her to eventually tell him who she is.
Be able to, like, wriggle out
of it. Because May's done a lot of things that she doesn't want to do, but does it anyway.
See Bahrain.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I think that eventually is how she'll get past it.
Yeah.
But I think that it makes sense in a way, because to program somebody not to do something is to break human nature.
Yes.
And if you need her to behave like a human, then you want to control their want, not... It's better to, like, give somebody something rather than just say no.
Oh, I wasn't criticizing that at all. I was saying that tracks, that makes a lot of sense.
I was agreeing with you.
I feel really weird about Robo May not, you know, knowing now that she isn't the real May, but still 100% being content taking May's place. Just like, I feel like having May, you know, May's consciousness and her memories within her, I feel like knowing that she's a robot, and yeah, there's a lot of Radcliffe programming in there too, but I feel like she'd be like, well, I'm just a pale imitation. Like, I don't... It's weird that, like, I guess because she wants to be with Coulson, that she's like, yeah, I'm okay taking...
Well, it's that weird thing when you have an AI, because in a sense, like, if... Like, that's assuming that she sees self-preservation at preserving the human May. But this LMD is still a person with, in a sense, with wants and desires, and has that drive for self-preservation. This, the Robo May wants to live, just like regular May wants to live. She knows if she's found out, she's gonna be put down.
Also, it might be like that weird kind of robot circular logic where it's like she now knows that she is super strong and, like, super fast and can take a few bullets without dying, so maybe she's like, oh, I'm better than actual May because I have all of her fighting, but I am built better than she is, so it might be the best for S.H.I.E.L.D. if I stick around and I could protect Coulson because I am a better version of actual May.
And because I feel all the same things she does, I also... Which, this episode is, like, shipping them hard. We've been seeing it coming, like, all season long. But, like, other people are, like, calling them out on it now. So it's like, okay, that's clearly where that kind of trek is going.
Oh, it's not a ship, it's a cruise. Like, it's already left the harbor.
Ooh.
Thank you, in-house band.
Give it up for the band, everybody. Yeah. yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys. But yeah, it's interesting. And I think you guys felt like the programming stuff was a little bit of a lackluster. I feel like Robo May's emotional journey makes up for that a little bit.
Yes. But again, I kind of feel like she's in the same place she was at the beginning of the episode.
That's true, because, like, she doesn't know anything new other than because she's like, oh, I'm a robot, and then by the end of this, it's, yep, I'm a robot.
Yeah, and I'm not going to tell anyone about it. So,
I mean, I think her, like, Robo May's storyline moved forward. It was a small step, but, like, the confirmation and the continual, like,
well, and now the knowledge that, like, she can't fight Radcliffe on it either.
Yeah,
I mean, I think it was more for the point of ironic detachment of, like, now the audience knows, stuff that either May won't remember or no one else knows. So I think that was the purpose of that.
I mean, I do continually raise an eyebrow towards Ada, though, because she's like, wouldn't it be easier and just more efficient to just kill regular yeah. May? And I'm like, ooh, you are an unpleasant person to be around.
You are a cliche. Logic of a robot. Yeah. Like, it's just making the calculation. Like, if what they're doing is supposed to save millions of lives, and keeping May alive it could potentially prevent that, then the mathematics say you shouldn't keep May alive.
Yes. If your assets are hurting you, then it makes sense to cut your assets.
Yeah.
Even if those assets are humans.
It's just interesting to see the way Radcliffe is continually justifying it to himself that this is the right thing to do. Oh, no, we don't want to hurt anybody. This is to help people. That only lasts for so long when you team up with an evil senator. Speaking of, let's talk about the Fitz's sort of journey in this episode, because he starts off still science cheating on Gemma. Mm. What did you guys think of, because like watching this, I still felt like at the beginning of this episode that he was straight up science cheating on her, and I wasn't happy about it. But he insists when he's found out that this is an investigation, because he was making sure that his hypothesis that Radcliffe was involved is correct.
Yeah, this is one of the stories that I had a issue with the writing, because I don't see any reason why he wouldn't just tell Gemma up front that he was doing an investigation.
Like, I suspect Radcliffe.
It was just like, it felt like it was really fabricated tension. And like, two of these stories, I was like, why did we see this? Like, why did we need to see this? And this is one of them.
If he had reason to suspect Gemma was involved, or, like, suspect Gemma was an LMD or something like that...
Then it would make sense.
It would need something like that to justify the fact that he was hiding this from her. Because, like, that's fine. If he suspected this, then...
That would make sense.
There's no reason for him not to bring other people in, especially Gemma, who he is so tight with. Like, I could see him not trusting, like, even somebody as close as May with it, because he's a little more removed, not sure who he can trust, but Gemma. It's Fitzsimmons.
I think what they were going for, because they did drop the hint early on that there was another LMD in use, I think what they were going for was that Fitz was actually the LMD, and that he was, and they were playing it off where, is it just Fitz being obsessed with this Ada technology, or is it LMD Fitz, who doesn't know he's an LMD, actively playing into Radcliffe's head?
I actually did have a moment where I turned to Jesse when we were watching, I was like, I think Fitz is an LMD, but not at all in that moment. It was only in the scene with him and Radcliffe.
Well, yeah, for me, seeing who the secret LMD is, I think for me it's what the LMD wants, which is to get the Darkhold. And Fitz was not doing anything to get closer to the Darkhold. He was just investigating LMDs. So yeah. I never once considered that he was an actual
LMD. He was the LMD.
Yeah, I only thought it might have been just the way that the scene was playing out between him and Radcliffe when he refers to him as his son. He's like, a son to me. I'm like, because you built him!
Sure.
But of course, that was not what it wound up being. But yeah, the thing with Fitz, like, they played it up to this point as if he was obsessed with her, with, like, Ada's, like, why the Darkhold corrupted her.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just sort of forgot that angle on it. And, like, it's okay if he started there and then he, like, was like, wait a minute.
Like, this doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
But that went away in, like, a line.
It was it was just like, oh, it wasn't that. It was him.
So the stakes of the situation.
I kind of thought that, like... Away. Again, kind of going to the LMD thing, I thought when he grabbed the gun from, you know, the other security guy and was getting ready to shoot Radcliffe, I thought this is where we were going to get the reveal that he was the LMD that Radcliffe had been referring to earlier.
Interesting.
But then he just goes ahead and shoots Radcliffe in the head, and it turns out that Radcliffe was an LMD.
All right. Chat, no LMD Grant Ward. No.
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 Guys.
He's too busy starring in Gavin Stone in theaters right now. And Shawn Michaels is in that movie as well.
Guys.
No.
We're done. We miss Brett Dalton, but Ward is done, and Ward was done prior to, like, the whole Hive thing, because he was dead when Hive took over his body. Yeah. It would literally be beating a dead, not a dead horse, but a like dead a dead shield character. Agent.
Yeah. Hydra. Beating a dead shield agent.
Hydra agent.
Yeah, or a Hydra agent.
A dead Nazi. Beating a dead Nazi.
Bringing Twitter, him. Tell us if that's a bad thing.
Maybe for, like, a season finale thing if we had have a weird simulation, or
no.
Just as a way to bring the actor back for a hot
the
second.
Show
but there's
ends,
no need for it.
I have no problem with some weird ghostly Brett Dalton thing.
Jedi ghost.
I don't know what it would be. Like, here's the thing. Like, series finales, like,
May.
Often have moments where
it's
stuff like that comes up. Either it's because they've been, like, shot and they're going through, like, flashbacks.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Like, I would not mind seeing Brett Dalton yet, but I do not
just
need a robot.
No.
Ward.
Okay. No.
I'm okay if the series finale at the retirement bar where they sent away Hunter and Mockingbird, they're all there and they all hold shots, and as we go starts playing, and like everyone has flashbacks to the first season, and I'm okay with that. Yeah, that's fine. And then the bartender,
this is a graduation.
The bartender is Ward with the goatee. He was there the entire time.
All right.
Okay.
Throughout this episode, they did do a good job playing a few times, like with, oh, this could be the LMD. Like, they really leaned into Mac.
Yeah.
In a gross way.
Should we talk about Mac a little bit? Because he and Yo-Yo.
Talk about Momo? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This was the other story. I was like, why am I watching this?
Maybe I'm just a sap, but, like, I literally said F you show, like, right after it happened, but that was just because I was like, it hit me harder than I was expecting to, and I owe that 100% to the performance.
Sure.
Like, it did come out of nowhere, because basically, Mac goes away, he and Yo-Yo are spending some quality time together, which,
a really weird cut where Yo-Yo's just on top of him and then is done. That was a very weird cut.
We're at a later time slot. You think they'd get a little bit more
there would be
explicit.
Something.
This is the network that has, like, Scandal. And
it looked like Yo-Yo was just sitting on him. And it was like, well, I'm going to lie down now.
but they're finally getting together, and but then he mysteriously is like, oh, I have a thing, you guys will be fine, and he asks for personal leave, and I actually really did like Yo-Yo kind of probing Coulson, like, hey, what's that about? You want to tell me? You want to just give me the skivvy on that?
Yeah.
I thought their interaction was great, because I don't feel like we see Coulson and Yo-Yo going on missions together very often. So,
I have problems with this plotline, like the whole idea that. That S.H.I.E.L.D., clandestine spy agency, like, that has dossiers on the most secretive black ops agents in the world, didn't know that he had, like, Coulson had only seen what was in his file, like, didn't know that much about him. Bull.
That seemed to ring a little untrue, because, I mean, again, yeah, they spent so much time, like, on missions together, and
oh, I don't even mean him not opening up. That actually reads for Mac. But the fact that, like, Coulson, the director of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
didn't know
have,
that
like,
he had a
massive
daughter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, those are the things that, like, that you know about people.
That Coulson didn't say, like, oh, it's going to be the anniversary of his daughter's death. He's probably dealing with something.
Yeah.
Like, Coulson knows everything about everyone.
Like, it is possible that he knew, and he was just saying that to
That's
be like,
that's not how they played it in the show. Like, that would have been fine if he's like, I know, but it's not my place to say.
It's not my place to
say. This entire story really bothered me, just because, again, Like, it, number one, it made Yo-Yo a weaker character to me because she was like, I don't want to be a cliche, and then acted completely cliche the entire time.
Yeah, there are times where that can help you get away with stuff. This was not one of those.
And also, like, she ended up seeming like she was, like, a jealous cliche-type girlfriend.
When that hasn't been her personality.
It hasn't been her personality. And then got it turned around on her where it was like, no, you're trying to break up with me while I'm trying to deal with my dead daughter. You're actually a bad person. Like, it made Yo-Yo look bad. And it was all, again, it felt like manufactured tension. It seemed like they had Mac for, like, half a day. He was just in that room.
Like, he was supposed to play a larger role, and then the actor got called away for something. Like, and they're like, well, make something up. I don't know. He's got a dead daughter.
He was just in that bedroom. We didn't see him anywhere else. It just felt like I thought the acting was good.
Yeah.
I would have enjoyed it more, except for me, I was like, this story, I don't like being negative, coming back, this is my first time back. I was like, this story didn't progress us anywhere. Yo-Yo still likes Mac. Mac is still loyal to Yo-Yo. We know a little bit more emotional backstory to Mac, but it was not, like, it didn't, we already knew Mac was a big softie.
Well, yeah, we know he's a good person.
Yeah.
We know that, like, family is very important to him, and that he's a good guy, like, just generally speaking, a good guy.
Which we already knew before this.
I was suckered into the sentimentality of it, like, because, like I said, when it happened, I owe this 100% to the performance, but when he's giving this monologue, I was tearing up a bit. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
And then the scene cuts away, and I was like, like I said, F you, show.
But, yeah. Like, why not do something, like, you can do anything with this kind of emotional, like, family thing. Why not do something with his brother, who we've already met?
Yeah, who we already have a connection to, and that's...
Have him take Yo-Yo to his child's grave.
It's show, don't tell.
Again, it felt like they were telling a lot and we weren't seeing a lot. Like, if Yo-Yo's saying, like, you know, listen, Turtle Man, I like you. I want to know if this is real. Like, it seems like you're distant. And then Mac takes her to a graveyard and shows her his child's grave. He's like, this is how serious I am about you. I'm sorry I felt this, that I've been distant. This is my child's grave. Like, that is a huge emotional moment, and it shows more.
And especially if that's, like, the last serious relationship that he was in.
Yeah.
It makes sense why he would go very slowly with Yo-Yo. And if that's what they were kind of trying to get across, there are probably better ways of doing it. I get what they were trying to do, but, like...
Yeah,
I understand that there's a few problems trying to get across this way.
Also, was I the only person who, that moment when he said, yeah, Hope, I went, he dated Hope Van Dyne? Or Hope Pym? Hope Pym?
Yeah.
The fake name, not. I was like, Hope Pym? Please, please!
I was going to say, how old is Mac? If that's the case.
The timeline's...
I was thinking Janet.
I said Van Dyne because I was too excited. And she's basically the stand-in for Janet.
He's like, my daughter Hope died. And I was like, Hope died? Like, that's That's an unfortunate sentence.
I just heard Hope in my way. Hope my brain dies. My brain zeroed in on a Pym.
I literally wrote Hope is dead in my notes, and then a little surprised face.
I thought about the X-Men universe and got very sad.
Aww. So,
we're getting a TV show. I know. Don't be sad.
Legion? Yeah. Are you guys going to watch?
No, not even. I'm not even talking about Legion. Like, they just confirmed Matt Nix.
Yeah.
The producer, like Burn Notice stuff, is doing a X-Men, some kind of X-Men original show.
I'm very excited about Legion.
Color that.
Legion.
For Fox.
Yeah.
Womp womp.
Oh. Well, news and gossip. Anyway.
It has bands.
There's this little other plot line I feel like we haven't talked about yet.
Is it the Daisy going to sit down and sign the Sokovia Accords? Because it's kind of
Capitol
a...
Hill.
There is so much... And this is where, like, the real meat of the episode is. Because we have a plot... They're planning on simultaneously using this to not only... You you know, get Daisy out there as a public figure and as, like, a 100% legal S.H.I.E.L.D. agent now by signing the accords, but they're also, like, using this as an opportunity to bug Senator Nadir's office since she'll be at the hearing. Mm-hmm. Now, talking about contrivances, it's like there was probably a better way to go about bugging the senator's office and or spying on her in general.
Yep.
But I actually really liked all of this stuff because the interactions, I really liked all of the interactions between all of the different characters and Mace this time around because everybody is essentially knocking his authority. Like, Talbot's not talking to him anymore. He's talking to Coulson because yep. Coulson's running operations. Every time he tried to get a word in edgewise, everybody just steamrolled over him. The only person that gave him any time to talk that actually listened to him a little bit was Daisy. And I really liked the dynamic that they had right before her hearing.
Yeah, I thought it was all fine. I would have liked for the episode to have been about it. It felt, I think it was like one commercial break worth of that.
And it was then, like a C story.
Yeah.
When it
should have been the A plot.
Yeah.
I guess they're going to get yelled at. Or, like, investigated, but, like, they're S.H.I.E.L.D. So, it felt like it got solved really easily as well, where I would have liked to have seen more consequences for it. I do...
we're free to go.
Those may be coming.
Yeah. I do really like that Nadir seems to be very much on the offensive and a couple steps ahead of them. I think that's interesting.
That's
as far
really
as storytelling.
Cool.
It makes her a good antagonist.
I also think she's a fantastic actress, and I'm really interested to see what they do with her.
Oh yeah, I loved the best part of the episode was just her interrogating Daisy.
Yeah.
And Daisy going, you know, Inhumans are normal. There are coworkers, there are friends, there are brothers.
You get it, Nadir?
Mic drop.
No, but I thought that was actually a really good back
yeah.
and forth.
Yeah, because no, it was like, fantastic.
Nadir was firing questions. And, like, you know what? Again, a year ago, I would have been like, no one would call her out on, like, the fact that she just blatantly distinguished them as abnormal. But we live in 2017.
Yep. We live in a world where that's
we're not even
going to
go down that road.
Nope.
But... so I'm sorry I brought us there. But
okay.
I really liked the way that Daisy had her answers and had them so strong that she, like, shut them down. But, like, Nadir, as a good adversary, it didn't even matter. She had too many things up her sleeve.
Yeah. There's all that money that you stole, you know, allegedly from criminal sources. Has the government seen any of that? Well, then either you did that, you know, as a criminal and you broke the law, or S.H.I.E.L.D. condoned it, and S.H.I.E.L.D. violated the Sokovia Accords.
Real simple way to get out of that. You just go, that is an undercover operation, and we are in a public forum that is classified.
Yeah.
I cannot talk about this.
And no one did that!
No one claimed classified! Also, why was her... this is one thing I didn't understand. Why was her signing the accords... Well, why did there have to be a trial for that?
Daisy had been
like an outlaw.
Yeah, because she
had been
engaging in so much criminal activity, they had to, like, say, you know, it was probably presented to them as just a formality.
Okay, because, like, Yo-Yo basically had to sign one of those supermarket signature pads.
Yeah, I think it was more of, like, Nadir wanted, like, to make a big show and tell out of it. That, you know, like, this is the S.H.I.E.L.D. They're signing an outlaw. Like, let's make it big in public so that I can take advantage of it.
That I can either publicly discredit this one person,
yeah.
or I can publicly discredit S.H.I.E.L.D. as an entire agency.
By association.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes sense. And again, as you pointed out, she's a great adversary for being, you know, Daisy is smart as a whip and, you know, she can get quips in there and she makes good speeches and she makes great cases for herself. But yeah, as you guys said, Nadir just has too much on them at the moment,
yeah.
especially since we still don't know who the leak is.
Well, we do.
Oh, Radcliffe. Duh.
Yeah. Radcliffe via May.
Yeah.
Robo May.
Yeah.
Is how they got all those secrets out.
Yeah.
That I like that twist that made that clicked in terms of plot line.
But also we know that she has a superior.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping we were going to get to see who the superior was at the very end of this episode, and that would be the cliffhanger.
So, Jesse, you haven't been back since they introduced the concept of the superior.
Yeah.
Who do you think it is?
Do you have a theory? Because we've basically come up dry. Like, there's a superior in the comics, but it's such a weird thing.
Yeah, superior and we've talked about it. My only thought to who the superior is, it's not Ward, Chad.
it's not LMD Ward. It's not Agent Blake either.
I was thinking maybe it's possibly one of the Hydra agents or Hydra leaders that we think are dead.
Like Ant in the chat thinks it could be Red Skull's daughter, Sin.
Oh, I mean, that would be a nice way to introduce her.
Which would be an interesting pun. I feel like Red Skull family might be a little too close to the movies. I don't know. That's a tough one. That might work.
What's the next movie that's coming out?
The next one is
Spider-Man.
No, Ragnarok. Guardians come.
I doubt that it's tied into that.
Yeah, no, that's gonna be too far away for S.H.I.E.L.D. Unless something happens with Guardians it's unexpected.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's probably gonna be like a Hydra guy.
Oh, Victor Tang. Could Superior be MODOK?
I mean, I would love it to be MODOK. That,
look, MODOK is such an absurd character. I mean, there's rumors about Peter Dinklage playing him in Infinity War. I don't buy that. But AIM has already been established in the MCU.
Yeah, sure.
So it's the kind of thing where I could see them being like, you know what, we already did AIM, so we can't do it again in the in the big screen stuff. But AIM is perfect for S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah,
AIM is the perfect villain for S.H.I.E.L.D. to go up against. If the Watchdogs and everything is some crazy, overly thought out, like world domination, like techno plot line thing that's come up with by MODOK,
that'd be great.
Which, Jesse, should we explain who MODOK is?
MODOK is a giant head in a chair with lasers.
He was in the Hulk animated TV show way back in the day, if you guys grew up in the 90s.
What is it? I always forget what it stands for.
It stands for a lot of different things. It changes every... It's
okay, that's
machine
what I can never remember.
Only designed for killing, I believe it is. Or designed only for killing.
Yeah, he's basically like the head... A head something the size of like a giant torso, who just kind of floats around.
He's got
smart,
tiny
right?
Arms and
yeah,
tiny
he's
legs.
He's extremely smart.
He's very intelligent. And he's got laser eyes or a laser crystal. He's a weirdo.
Not Zola. Zola's been done.
Granted, I don't want to say like this for sure, but there are a couple of people who have commented on our videos saying that like. It could be, Justin Hammer coming back from Hammer Tech. Because, like, they've made some subtle references
they've
to hammers.
They've used the word hammer a few times.
But I don't think that's real foreshadowing.
So, well, but with it's a loaded word in
so
Marvel.
do we think that, this is a question that Zach and I were talking about. Do we think that Radcliffe was the other LMD, or do we think that there is another one in...
It's entirely possible that there are more LMDs at play.
Because there could be, but like we went back and rewatched the opening scene just to be sure. And the way that he phrases it with in his conversation with Ada, he says there is a second LMD in operation. Doesn't say that they're inside S.H.I.E.L.D. already.
Yes.
Says in operation. So I took that to mean to be referring to the Radcliffe LMD that we see at the end.
I took that to mean
that the Radcliffe LMD hadn't been in operation yet, that he didn't start that LMD up yet. I personally think it's Talbot, because
because
he's the only person who made moves to acquire the Darkhold in this entire thing, because he when he was talking about, like, if Nadir finds out that we were spying on us, they're going to have to get an investigation and try and take all of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s assets. You should transfer your assets to me, and I will take so that they won't get a hold of it. And I was, to me, that means that he's trying to get that Darkhold, because Darkhold is part of S.H.I.E.L.D.
But again, LMD subconsciously sabotaging S.H.I.E.L.D. without even realizing
it. Like, he's all he knows is that for some reason he wants to get that Darkhold or the S.H.I.E.L.D. assets and doesn't know why. That's just his programming.
I would love it if Talbot actually turned out to be an LMD.
I think just pissed off Talbot in a closet is very funny.
Yeah.
He's just getting shiatsu massages over and over again.
He wouldn't question it.
In a closet.
I'm trying to think who... I'm still stuck on the superior.
Like,
the
chatter, who could be the superior? Yeah.
The chat said, like, Nitro... Again, not Armazola. Because he's been used. Like, his story has been done.
Well, and not to mention, we didn't really touch on it in this episode, but, like, Nadir's brother is still out there. Vijay, mm-hmm. you know, he could very well become Taskmaster, as you guys have been wanting Taskmaster to be, Taskmaster. Like, incorporated into the show for several seasons now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure
now I want Taskmaster to have his own Netflix series.
That would be great.
I don't want him in the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I want his own Netflix series.
I will continue to predict that every character that's introduced on this show is Taskmaster.
I don't know. I think there's something to the storytelling that they're not telling us who the leader is, which means it's someone that we've already seen or know.
Yeah, I hate it when it's a reveal of, like, we've never seen this person before. Like, that's one of the reasons why the clairvoyant reveal was so interesting.
Yes.
Because it's like, oh, here it's this person that's been hiding in plain sight this whole time. Like, that's a good reveal.
Yeah.
If, like, the reveal that the superior is just... some guy that's not really interesting.
It would have to be somebody like you're right. It has to be somebody that we know either as
a comic character,
as fans of S.H.I.E.L.D. or as fans of the comics. Like, if it's a pre-established like comic book character, that is also a reason to keep this kind of secrecy.
Kind of like the reveal that, you know, the director at the beginning of the season was Mace, the Patriot. It's like, you know. Anybody who isn't familiar with the context of that character is just like, oh, whoa, the big surprise is that this guy has superpowers. That's cool. But for anybody who is familiar with the character, they're like, oh, it's the Patriot. You know, so something like that would be really good, too. Something where you can surprise both comic book fans and just fans of the show.
It's just a question of, like, who has motive... to, like, hate Inhumans or to control somebody to take out Inhumans, even if they don't
Senator
necessarily
Kelly?
Hate them.
Senator Kelly?
Yeah, I mean, that's
from
the
X-Men universe?
Like, I started thinking, like, I'm trying to think, like, forward in the MCU, like, there is Inhumans coming down the pipeline, so, like, is it Maximus? Because he's going to be probably the big bad of Inhumans. But, like, why would they want to kill Inhumans? Like, it doesn't fit, but, like, I don't know who would have that sort
of
hatred towards Inhumans.
I feel like if it was also just a new original character where they cast somebody like Constance Zimmer to play it, then they would just give out, like, hey, this person's going to be playing the superior.
I do think there's a good chance that whoever the superior is, they do not hate Inhumans, and they've been using Nadir's hatred and the Watchdog's hatred to do something else behind the scenes.
To accomplish their own agenda.
Yep. Yeah, and they're like, I don't care about Inhumans. Like, they're fine. Whatever.
Who cares?
I
got this other thing going on.
Either they're powered to the point where they don't even need to worry about Inhumans, or it's just not a factor in whatever their plan is, which MODOK makes sense for.
Yeah,
because controlling people through
big
fear
head
and power
and little
of like
arms.
A senator
to push like an arms race. Like, if it's to make people so scared of Inhumans that people start contracting super weapons to protect themselves,
which the Watchdogs have already started getting. They had the Judas bullets a week ago.
Yeah, that would make sense as an aim goal. And then Hammer Tech. We've seen it all over the place.
Yeah. So,
it's Norman Osborn leading Hammer.
I mean, I don't think they'd do that. I feel like they'd save Norman for the movies, but I don't know.
I guess, actually, with Hammer Tech connected to AIM via Iron Man 2, the Judas bullets that we saw last week were manufactured by Hammer Tech.
Yes.
As we established in Luke Cage. So those pieces all fit together. I'm going to lock it in. MODOK is my prediction for Superior.
Zach, MODOK. I'm just picturing, like, a giant corkboard, like, in your apartment, and just, like, all these, like, little pieces of red string connecting these different things. All connected.
You're not wrong.
To me, it's just Zach standing in front of a bunch of, like, pictures, and they're all
The Sherlock thing comes up, and he's like,
You go into your mind palace.
Well, I feel like that's actually a good place to say, do we have any predictions for the next direct episode? Because, guys...
Look who's back!
We get Agent Koenig!
Yep.
I'm so excited!
However many of them there are, we don't actually know!
I don't know.
I've never seen that man before in my life.
Episode, I'm just very excited.
I have no like predictions except that I'm going to be elated.
I have a feeling it might also be a kind of a filler episode, but like a comedy filler episode. Yeah, so that might
be fun. Patton Oswalt is always a hoot. Yeah.
I said last week that I think that I'm seeing the preview for next week. I don't know if this is going to actually hold water, but. What if the Koenigs, like all of them, are the Darkhold Redeemers?
I'll agree with that prediction.
Well, they are keeping the Darkhold safe right now.
That's the secret. There's so many of them. They've been cloning themselves to protect the Darkhold.
Now, so yeah, thoughts. We touched on it before when we got in the Koenigs in the past. Androids? Clones? Just regular siblings? Is the mystery of the Koenigs going to be unraveled in this next episode?
It could be anything. It can't be LMD. The timeline doesn't fit. But it could literally be like any explanation, and I don't care. More Patton Oswalt.
Always good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always say yes to more Patton Oswalt. All right, guys. Well, I feel like that wraps it up basically for this episode. Great. Any final thoughts?
No,
I'm looking forward to next week.
Yep. Me too. It's going to be so much fun. Alrighty, Zach, where can people go if they want to find you?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at ThatZachWilson. That's Zach with a C-H. You can also find me on AfterBuzz on Sundays talking about Grimm, or on our sister network, The Popcorn Talk, talking sci-fi once a week with Jesse Klein over here. This Sunday, we're talking about the new Netflix movie, iBoy.
It's supposed to be very good.
Forget the title. I've seen no reviews for it, but the trailer looks great. It's got Maisie Williams in it. It's like a dark, like horror techno thriller.
Ooh.
It's basically it's a vigilante story. Maybe you've read or watched some things about vigilantes before. But we're gonna be it comes out on Friday, and we're gonna be talking about it Sunday. So join us on Popcorn Talk at 4 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, I got Popcorn Talk. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at JessKlein1, JessKlein the number one. You can see comedy videos that I write and am in at Haymaker Comedy on YouTube. We've got some fun stuff up there, and I do live comedy all over the Los Angeles area. That's all.
Oh, can I plug one more thing?
Go for it.
New video for my team that also performs the same theater as Jesse, Turncoat, that I directed called... Inception, Spin the Bottle.
There you go.
It's on YouTube.
Does it just keep spinning? Yes!
Wait, spoil the sketch, man.
I don't know. I haven't seen it, but that sounds amazing.
Go watch it. It's on my Twitter page as well.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Don't forget to follow Tehran on Twitter and all of the social media stuff. And I'm Megan. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I am also on a bunch of shows here at AfterBuzz. We recapped all of season 4 of Sherlock earlier tonight. All 3 episodes back to back to back. That was fun. It was a good time, but I am exhausted. And I also write articles for The Movie Chick. That's Chick with 2 K's. Be sure to check those out. Thank you guys so much for staying up late and hanging out with us. We will see you all next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other After shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.